News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary, bringing you the latest developments of India's unexplored Northeast region. Today, we bring you an interview with author and IAS officer Ashish Kundra, where he talks about his book entitled A Resurgent Northeast, Narratives of Change. We will also get to know about the customs and cultures of Tagim tribe of Arunachal Pradesh.
But for now, let's go to Meghalaya, where the World Environment Day was celebrated across the state on June 5th, with the state government, local communities, educational institutions and various organizations coming together to mark this occasion. Our Shillong correspondent brings you a report.
The Forest and Environment Department held World Environment Day's observance at the National Institute of Fashion Technology in Umsauli. Organized by the Social Forestry and Environment Wing, the event focused on the theme Land Restoration, Desertification and Drought Resilience. Chief Secretary D.P. Walang addressed the gathering, highlighting the global importance of this day in raising awareness for environmental preservation. He emphasized that while the environment is the foundation of human civilization, it is under severe threat from industrialization, urbanization and population growth, leading to deforestation, pollution and climate change.
The rapid pace of industrialization, urbanization and population growth has put unprecedented pressure on our planet, leading to deforestation, pollution, climate change and the depletion of our natural resources. Each one of us holds the power to make small changes, and these small changes collectively will translate into significant impact. By fostering awareness, taking decisive actions and aspiring towards a sustainable future, we can collectively bring about the change that our planet urgently needs. Remember, every small effort counts, and when multiplied across communities and nations, these efforts can drive monumental change. As we celebrate the World Environment Day, let us commit ourselves to the cause of environmental preservation. Let us champion the cause of our planet, not just for ourselves, but also for generations to come.
In Laitumukha, the Sang Kinthei and Sang Samla observed World Environment Day by encouraging residents to maintain cleanliness in the locality. East Shillong MLA Amparin Lingdo, who attended the function, stressed the importance of addressing environmental issues despite the challenges posed by modernization and urbanization. She highlighted the urgent need to protect local streams, rivers and water bodies and praised those working quietly to safeguard the environment.
We cannot fight modernization and urbanization. But I know one thing, for as much as we want to grow and for as much as we want to modernize ourselves, we have to give time to the environment. I must also make a special mention of the Darbar of Lokamba, who relentlessly is working to ensure that the rubble that we see growing down Wahakamsiyam is reduced substantially, and we continue to protect the interests of that stream, which I am sure our forefathers relished. I am told by my great grandmother that people used to fish at one point of time on that river. It is a very, very important and a necessary reminder to especially urbanites like all of us, who pay very little attention to the condition of the environment around us in our everyday lives.
Meghalaya State Pollution Control Board Senior Environmental Engineer Wanshan Kharkrang spoke on the United Nations focus for this year's World Environment Day, which underscores the importance of land restoration. He pointed out that efforts to clean air and water are futile without addressing land degradation.
When it comes to celebrating World Environment Day, the United Nations realized only in 2024 the importance of actually making land as a priority. And if you notice the theme design, it speaks about the need to restore land. And once we understand the essence and the importance of land and the requirement of restoration, then everything thrives around it. We may speak of cleaning the air if you don't have land, it's pointless. We may think about cleaning the rivers, the water bodies, if you don't have land, it's pointless for it. And if you don't have land, then we also will not be here. So land is something that is very, very important. But we forget that actually land is a resource. And the resource which God has given to us, for us actually to take care of it.
Andrew A. Jirwa, a Rangba Shnong of Laitumukha Dorbar, Pilun, echoed these concerns, noting the deteriorating environment and lack of public awareness.
The environment is slowly deteriorating, is slowly dying, and yet we care very, very little about what is going on. I'm very happy for certain groups, certain individuals. Their efforts are not spared in making sure that the place that we live in, the environment that we, you know, do look after is taken care of. Bajan is one such example who tirelessly work to make sure that whatever we do, we should not just simply destroy the environment. All that filth that we just simply choose to ignore, these people are working hard to make sure that that is taken care of.
The Shillong Municipal Board, in collaboration with the Indian Institute of Professional Studies, William Kari University and ICFAI University, organized awareness programs through street plays on zero littering at strategic locations like Don Bosco Square in Laitumukha and Laban Red Cross. William Kari University also conducted a tree plantation drive at Nong Kholyu village, Maulai, Mautawar, and held a painting competition to engage students creatively. Additionally, the Department of Education and Political Science led cleanliness drives on campus and in the neighboring streets, promoting community responsibility and environmental care. The celebration of World Environment Day should not be merely ceremonial. It is crucial to engage more citizen groups at the local level to spread awareness about the importance of preserving the environment. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Lamphang Nong Span for Northeast Diary from Akashvani News, Shillong.
Northeast Diary program, broadcast every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., brings very interesting and enchanting stories from the 8 Indian states of Northeast India. Don't forget to tune in. Now, let's hear some interesting facts about the customs and cultures of Tagim tribe of Arunachal Pradesh.
The Tagins are one of the principal inhabitants of Upper Subansiri district, which was created on 1st June 1980, bifurcating erstwhile Subansiri district of Arunachal Pradesh with headquarters at Daporijo. Tagins concentrate in the heart of the district, including Daporijo town. The land and the Tagin tribe of present Upper Subansiri district were hidden and unknown to the government of India till the beginning of the 50s. In fact, a platoon of Assam Rifles consisting of porters, soldiers, one area superintendent and a sergeant major visited this land in 1953. A group of Tagin local tribal people attacked the team in misunderstandings, killing many of the team in Aching Mooring near Taliha. After this incident, the government of India paid attention to this land and its people. The Tagins are animists who commonly believe in Doni Polo, Sun Moon, as their supreme god. Also believe the existence of spirits of various natural objects and believe the deities for different living and non-living nature. There is no traditional image and place of worship for Doni Polo. They call the name of Doni Polo in success and distress with believing that this god looks upon them. Some beliefs and practices of animism may be illustrated as They believed that the gods of earth and sun blessed them for good and prosperous life, and thus they worshipped Shi and Dhoni in Sidoni festivals to appease them. They believed that sun god Dhoni Polo knows everything and all acts of the people. Thus they called the name of Dhoni Polo in the time of administration of examining animal and pole livers, eggs, etc. In conduct of oaths and ordeals, they examined the chicken livers and eggs to detect the criminals and to get foretells of the future. They believe that different spirits bring different influences into the life of the people. Thus, they perform individual rituals to appease the god and evil spirits to success or to protect the people from evil influences. Individuals, families engage priests to perform prayers and rituals offering to the related spirits when one seeks rich harvest in agricultural products or success in hunting, or if wants to get relief from diseases or ill health. If one thinks safe from dangers or bad dream or evil spirits of tigers. The people perform a ritual at the main gates of the villages to protect themselves from the disease spirits when epidemic break out at other neighboring villages. The emergence of Panchayati Raj in 1967 brought a change in the status of village councils. The Panchayati Raj institution sharing the social responsibility of the village council. This new emergence makes a traditional village authority and Panchayati Raj institutions interrelated in many social activities. Generally, there were no interactions amongst the Tagin villagers in primitive days. Each village authority functioned independently. The present Bango organization and cooperation coordinated by district administrator is a change in this tribal life. In regards to rites and rituals, when a person is sick, his parents and family members engage priest, that is Nibo, to heal the ill person. The priest examines the chicken livers and eggs to identify the spirits which influencing poles, animals to be sacrificed for the spirits and perform puja in that house. The ill person and his family members observe walking and eating taboos prescribed by the priest after performing the rite. In case the healed person and his family members do not observe taboos according to the prescription of the priest, the performed rite couldn't be successful, or that healed may be harmed again or killed by the spirit out of anger. As a result, the cured person would suffer again severely, and another puja has to conduct for the same person or to review the rite. The taboos and social restrictions are very important for the Tagins, which are closely attached to their individual as well as social life. Individual restrictions are observed in pregnancy, childbirth, metal making, hunting, fishing, men's snake bite, marriage, harvesting, drink preparation, individual rites, dead and disposal by individuals and families. Taboos are observed in pregnancy and childbirth for the welfare of child as well as its mother. In metal making, for good results in making of metallic properties. In hunting, fishing, harvesting, for success and rich yielding. In snake bite and tiger killing, to save the affected person as well killer from the spirits of such dangerous animals. In marriage life, to be free from affected marriage life. In preparation of drinks and its material for getting fine quality. In individual ritual for its successfulness and to save the family members from adverse influence caused by spirits. In fire accident and epidemic, to save from evil influences of such spirits. In stillborn and other dead cases, to save from evil influences of the spirits of the souls for peace and satisfaction of the soul. There is no hard and fast rules that differentiated the occupation of male and female sexes in Tagin community. But it is the moral obligation that the female members should perform the easy walks and males have to cover the tough walks. That's why the agricultural walks and household chores are done by the females, where a male Tagins deal with matters relating to forest, construction, social works, and other outside affairs. In female works, the married adult females take the responsibilities of the household affairs of the families or husbands' houses. But girls married in immature ages remain under the charges of parents-in-law. There were no able girls or women remain unmarried in the past, a child marriage was the common practice among the Tagins. Agriculture and family management are the major occupations of the Tagin women. It gives women the freedom of choosing any occupation that one likes. Hence, literate and educated Tagin women choose the occupation of the government services, whereas illiterate or village women are adhered to agricultural works. No widow is allowed to remarry a man other than the nearest relatives of the deceased husband, or she can't leave the heirs of the dead husband, as bride price have already paid to her. Hence, there is no question of disinheriting a widow. The woman, either married or unmarried, have rights to earn and possess individual properties. That is why they can have individual income and have rights to purchase valuables. An unmarried girl uses such private money for the welfare of her and her family, whereas a married uses such private properties for her children. Generally, a wife can't be divorced among the Tagins, as they pay bride price for the wives. Under such practice, the case of divorce found fewer in this tribe. Of course, the wives also deserted husbands nowadays by returning the bride price paid for them. A wife also gets back the properties paid for her if she is being divorced by her husband. Even she has right to get an equal share of property earned during their conjugal life. But the amount of property share given to a divorced wife determined by the right or guilty of her. If divorce is caused by wife, she has no right to claim the share of such properties. It is to conclude that Upper Subansiri district is a border district of India, locating in China border of Arunachal Pradesh, having a total population of 60,000 as census 2001. Among the various four tribal groups of the district, Tagin is the largest community, having more than 270 clans and 300 villages, which occupies the central as well as larger area of Upper Subansiri district. The Tagins, having fine figures and white complexion, that have migrated originally from Tibet, speak Tibeto-Burman language, are the descendants of Abotani, the first men of tribe. The Tagins are famous in the state for Daporijo, the headquarters of Upper Subansiri district, for historical incident of Sher Bahadur Tapa and his memorial stone at Limeking, for Aching Muring massacre in Talia area, and for Manga cave temple in Sipi area. In socio-cultural life, their main practice are songs and dances, agricultural activities, monogamous and polygamous marriages with payment of bride prices, maintenance of joint families, and implementation of customary rules in all daily activities. Every aspect of socio-cultural life of the Tagins have its traditional rules which guide them in all walks of affairs. With the spread of education and influence of modernization, the system and lifestyle of the Tagin is undergoing a radical change today. The life of the Tagin people is simple and placid and often hard, but they have a rich cultural legacy, myriad myths and legends which make an interesting, though rather strange.
Our personality of the week is author and IAS officer Ashish Kundra, in conversation with Vinita Thakur.
We welcome Mr. Ashish Kundra, Principal Secretary to LG Delhi. Someone who is not from Northeast, in a small center like your tenure, you could do so much out there. You wrote a book, which is quite inspiring.
So the title of the book is called A Resurgent Northeast. Okay. And I've done 8 years in Northeast. I have been fortunate to have worked in Arunachal and Mizoram.
Okay.
And I did that in two stints, which were 15 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, a vantage position to look at things from a temporal perspective. So I could see how things were. Things are changing. So,
okay.
I mean, it inspired me that how people of that region, who for historical reasons have been left behind from the growth story of India, are now bouncing back, and their aspirational youth are now very clearly wanting to integrate with India's growth stories and do their bit and contribute and do well for themselves also. So that's why the aspirational society of Northeast, which is there today, is bustling with energy, is what I have tried to build build in that narrative. It's called narratives of change.
Okay. Mm. And like you said, you were in Arunachal Pradesh and Mizoram.
That's right.
And both the states in their culture, in their style, in their approach, everything is quite different.
Well, so I went first to Mizoram, which was in the year 2000. And I originally am from Chandigarh. So going to Aizawl at that time was a bit of a cultural shock for me.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
And, you know, there's different language, different culture, different cuisine, different ecosystem and ethos and different climate, of course. It was very fascinating at one level to see people who are so quiet, elegant and disciplined.
Yeah.
And at the same time, clear position of women in their economy is something very remarkable. And for me, that was something very unusual and stood out amongst so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the marketplace, it's run by women. If you go to the secretariat, it is again run mostly by women.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a curious thing which we kind of, I was able to witness at that point in time. Two tenures in Mizoram and one in Arunachal. The second tenure, Mizoram is far more progressive, far more open and far more embracing of change. And Arunachal Pradesh, of course, is a land of remarkable beauty, remarkable diversity. So you have plains and you have very high mountains, you have rolling hills and you have meadows, everything that you could ask for in terms of touristic beauty. And similarly, there are 23 districts and each district is kind of distinct tribal identity, different culture, different cuisine again. And therefore, the diversity of that state, it's truly fascinating.
So one solace about Arunachal Pradesh, I feel, is that they speak Hindi, most of them.
Yes.
So that's, for them, acceptance to outsiders is a little easy.
In Mizoram, in my second tenure, I found that Mizos are by nature a very shy community.
Very reserved.
Very reserved.
Yeah.
So it's not as if they are not welcoming. They are not as expressive, perhaps, as people from Arunachal. So Arunachalis are more like Punjabis, perhaps. And they, you know, you strike friendships very easily. They're very boisterous, even flamboyant at times. And therefore, they're very easy to get along with. People in Mizoram, I think you have to kind of immerse yourself in their ethos, win their trust and confidence, and then you make very genuine friends.
What does your book basically deal with it?
So the book is giving the entire developmental landscape. It's a landscape view of unfolding changes in that region. So I have touched upon a bit of history, a bit of the ethnic strife which this region experienced over decades. I've called that the lost decades. And then in the 21st century, I have touched upon how connectivity has improved, how the prospects of trade have improved, how horticulture is becoming now, you know, with exotic crops which are grown in this region is giving an economic opportunity. How this region could be the powerhouse of India with the enormous hydropower potential. How the exquisite beauty of Northeast is giving opportunities for ecotourism and how people are trying to, in their own way, develop homestays and that kind of a system. What is the uniqueness about women of this region? I have mentioned that. I have talked about entrepreneurship and education as well. Then I've also spoken about, with some candor, about the governance challenge which exists in these parts. In a nutshell, I've tried to weave a narrative of from an outsider's eye of what I have seen over time and how I see decisively now that it is on the path where it is on a takeoff stage. And this is a time when development and change will be irreversible. So it was for me a remarkable experience, and that's what I've tried to document.
Oh, you started writing there only?
So I started writing in the last year when I was in Aizawl, and I had some time at hand because I had conducted elections and I was chief electoral officer, so there was not much work on my table. So I started doing some bit of stuff at that time, and then when I came back, then during the lockdown period of COVID, again that gave me an opportunity to think and reflect and write. When I started doing it, I realized that the task was not as simple and straightforward as it seemed, because while I had done two states, when you write about eight, then it's slightly more challenging. And you know, I have traveled to all across the Northeast northeast. Tripura is one state which I must admit I have not traveled as much except for the border districts.
Okay.
But yes, I have tried to do justice in my own way to the entire region.
What about Manipur? What was your experience there?
So Manipur also, I have been to Imphal, I have not been to the hill areas, but again it's a large state and it is a state which has huge promise and potential. Like in, for example, in the region it is becoming a hub for medical tourism, it is becoming a hub of education. There are a lot of young entrepreneurs who are coming up in that state. And in terms of even horticulture, for example, the Taminglong orange is extremely delicious.
Northeast in general, it's so mesmerizing that people generally start writing poems. Natural beauty everywhere, it's so picturesque.
It is an easy read, let me put it this way. And it is also peppered with a lot of conversations. So I have tried to build the argument through conversations with people who are of that region. So I've tried to build a storyline. It is a narrative of reality and the unfolding drama of change. So it is a poetic prose.
Oh, that's amazing. So anything else that you would like to say, something that you might have missed in the book also?
I have tried to pour my heart out there. You can take the man out of the mountains, but never the mountains out of the man.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So it's really been wonderful talking to you, sir. But
likewise.
Then I have a conversation with someone like you who has utilized his time and come up with a wonderful book. I'm sure we'll have a nice time if we get to read it also. So thank you so much for sparing your time, sir.
Thank you very much.
You just heard the author and IAS officer Ashish Kundra in conversation with Vinita Thakur. And now we bring you a song capturing the mood of the river Brahmaputra in Assam.
খনে রুদ্র
পলে পলে নব নব চিত্র
ও স্থির প্রবাহিক বই জোয়া ব্রহ্মারে পুত্র তুমি সৃষ্টির পুত্র ও প্রণাম ব্রহ্ম পুত্র
নমামি ব্রহ্ম পুত্র.
With that, we have come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
Teri nehron mein pita ki baahein mile
teri boondon se bas
साथियों से तेरे किनारे जीवन का है खजाना तू बहलायूंगी बहला यह धरती सजल कर बहना तू देश के कंधे का है नीला दुशला प्रणाम ब्रह्मपुत्र Namu Brahma Putra
Namami Brahma Putra
Namu Brahma Putra Namami Brahma Putra Brahma Putra Brahma Putra.
This program was scripted and presented by Lucy G. Chattopadhyay, produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.